Be ready in a minute, and what I'd like to talk to you about tonight, that so many people say, well, preacher, I'll tell you, if God would talk to me directly, I would do better. I would quit doing the things that I've been doing, or I would start doing the things that you say that I need to do, if God would just talk to me directly. I'd leave the church that I'm a member of if God told me to. I wouldn't listen to the preacher anymore that I've been listening to if God would just talk to me in a direct fashion. And so many people have that feeling, and really I think down deep inside they've heard it and spoke it so often that they believe it. But friends, the Bible begins with the case of God talking directly to two individuals. And those individuals understood what God said. There were no whiskey stores around. There was no gambling around. They didn't have any bad friends for a bad influence. None of that was there. Everything was good, except for one thing. Now notice, if you will, in Genesis chapter 3, and we'll begin reading with about verse 2, and we understand that the woman is talking to the devil about what really happened. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. God spoke directly to them. They understood what God said. Now look. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now who are you going to believe? This is what God said. This is what the devil says. And who are you going to believe? Nobody else to listen to. Either hear God or hear the devil, one or the other. No evil influence other than the devil. I want you to notice, God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, now here's the woman reasoning, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Now just stop and think. She didn't have all these evil influences. All she had was what God said and what the devil said. Would it really make a difference? It didn't with them. That's the first example that God gives us, that if God were here tonight speaking directly to you, it wouldn't be any better than what God has said in His Word. Remember concerning the man in torment, he said, I have five brethren. Send Lazarus unto them, lest they come to this place. Jesus said they have Moses and the prophets. They didn't have Moses and the prophets. They had the words of Moses and the prophets. And they wouldn't be persuaded by those words. Friends, what I want to say to you tonight, this country is filled with people that claim that they believe in God. They claim they believe in Jesus. But they don't believe what God has said. They don't believe what Jesus said. How many times have I heard, I know that's what it says, but I don't think that's what it means. Friends, to believe in God, you've got to believe what He says. To believe in Christ, you've got to believe what He says. Now let's leave Genesis now and go over to the third chapter of the book of Exodus. And we notice very particularly what's beginning to take place. We understand here that Moses saw a burning bush. It wasn't consumed, and he turned aside, and he was told to take off his shoes, for he was standing on holy ground. Where God is, the place is holy. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Friends, we need to admit tonight, Jesus is in our midst, and this is a holy gathering. Don't you forget that. And we're here to hear what God has to say, and we're here to hear what Jesus has to say. I think the biggest insult is someone to say to me, Joel, I don't believe what you say. The kids in juvenile detention would often say to another, when they would say something they shouldn't say, we had a new kid coming in, they'd say, you don't talk that way in front of him. Friends, we need to learn that. And we need to learn the certain things we talk about because we believe in God. Now God said to Moses that my people are down there in Egypt. They have cried out unto me, and I have heard them. Oh, isn't that wonderful? That we cry to God and He hears us. Not only does He hear us, He does something about it. Let's notice, if you will, as we begin to read and look in verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmakers, for I know their sorrows. We serve a God that knows our sorrows. The hurts that we mentioned here tonight, God knows those hurts. Remember, your foot shall not be moved. Your keeper will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. No matter when it happened, God knows. Now watch again. I have come to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of the land unto a good land, a large, a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, though the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptian oppressed them. I have seen, I've heard their prayers, I'm going to do something about it. Now watch this. He said, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayst bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses, I'm going to do something good, and I'm going to use you to do that good. Time for us to stop and think. Jesus died on the cross to forgive man of his sins. He is now using us to tell those people about it. Think about it. He's now using us. Somebody says, well, why me? Why not you? Moses begins to reason like we reason. Listen to him. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Why are you using me? God wants to use every child of God in this building to teach somebody. I left Cracker Barrel tonight and a man parked beside of me. I told him about the meeting, invited him out here. He said, I know some of those people out there. I said, come to worship with us this week. God uses every one of us. That's why we're here, to share what we have with others. But Moses, like too many of us, he said, wait a minute. Now, you recognize that God believed, that Moses believed in God. He had to leave Egypt because of his faith in God. He believed in God, but he didn't believe what God said. I'm afraid that's the way with a lot of us. We believe in God, but we don't believe what God says. Who am I that I should go and deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now Moses begins like we do. He begins to make excuses. Now what's the next verse? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. Remember that Sunday morning? That's repeated throughout the Bible. Moses, you can do it because I'm with you. There's nothing too hard for God. Oh, if I could drive that in your mind. There's nothing too hard for God. Man here last night from Scottsville, he said, I moved to Auburn, Kentucky. I was a member of the denomination. The preacher started asked me if I'd study the Bible with him. I did. My neighbor wanted to study the Bible. And both of us within 2 weeks became Christians. Friends, who am I? It's not you. God said, I will be with you. Moses, you're going to do it. I'm going to be with you. He said, take that rod and throw it down. It became a serpent. He said, grab it by the tail and pick it up. It became a rod. He said, put your hand in your bosom. He did. He said, bring it out. He did. It was leprous. Put it in your bosom again and bring it out. Leprosy is gone. God is with you. The same God is with us. And we need to learn that. And we need to keep it in our mind continually. Now look over in chapter 4, if you will. And you see pretty well the same thing as we read right on down. Let's just drop down to verse 13. And he said, Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Lord, would you send somebody else? Lord, would you? I appreciate you wanting me to do it, but I'll be with whoever you choose to go. Oh, look at the next verse. The next verse just really gets to us. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in heart. Moses had to learn that it's not enough to believe in God. You've got to believe what God says. See, I deal with people, and I've dealt with people who have a habit of drinking. Oh, how many people I've fought with. I have a piece of paper there. The fellow was in his 40s, early 50s rather. He'd written on a sheet of paper, Oh, do not quit. Oh, do not quit. Oh, do not quit. Oh, do. He gave me 2 pages full of that. Fighting, working with the railroad company, fighting drugs. When he died, when they came to the house to help him before he died, I cleaned out all the beer cans out of his truck, out of his house, so that the rest of the family wouldn't be embarrassed when hospice came to help him. He believed in God, but he just couldn't break that habit. Friends, young people, don't fool with alcohol or drugs. It'll send you to an early death. And you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. You need to run from it. Believe in God. Believe what God has to say. Over in John, we need to stop and think. In John 20, verse 30 and verse 31. He said, truly many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. These are written, why? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Well, why is this written? That we might believe. That's what he's saying. Over in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20 again, we notice, and they rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so it shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and ye shall prosper. Listen to the prophets. God sent them, and their words will help you. Friends, we need to realize that, and we need to realize that over and over and over again. You can't believe in God without believing what God says. The devil believes in God, but he hasn't accepted what God says, and that's the difference. Turn over to the book of Judges, if you will, and this time we'll notice another case in the book of Judges. In fact, in the book of Judges, chapter 6. And as we begin to read in verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where are all the miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Gideon didn't understand. God didn't forsake them until they turned their back upon God. Gideon said, God, something needs to be done. These Midianites are ruling over us. And God said, Gideon, you're right. You're right. And you know what I'm going to do? You're going to deliver Israel from Midian. Now wait a minute. That's when we began to stutter. God said, now Gideon, you're right. I'm going to use you. Could you use Steve? Could you use somebody else? Gideon was a little bit concerned. And so as we read on down, God said, in verse 16, surely I will be with you. After Gideon started making excuse that I'm from a poor group of people, my family is poor, why would you call me? Why me? He said, now I'd like to have some kind of sign. Now here's a man that's been praying to God. He believes in God, but he has trouble believing what God says. Friends, that's something you fight with throughout your life. He said, well, now, put a sacrifice on a rock. An angel came down and fire came out of the rock and devoured it. Gideon said, "That's enough, Lord, I'll go." That's enough. You have showed me that you're with me and I'm ready to go. I'll just pack it up and... That's wishful thinking. That's not what he said. Now, I want you to notice what he had to say. As we drop on down to about verse 37. Oh, let's begin verse 36. "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said." He understood what God said, but now he's put an if in front of it. Watch him. "Behold, I put a fleece of wool in the floor of the... And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morning on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wrung out the dew out of the fleece, and the bowl was full of water." Now Gideon said, "That's enough. That's what I asked for. You've given me two signs. I'm ready to go." No, he didn't. He believes in God, but he don't believe what God says. He reversed it the next day. He said, "God, don't be angry with him." Why would God be angry with him? "Little Nelson, how'd you feel?" I said, "Well, I went to school with your daddy and I like you, but I don't believe what you say." That's what Gideon's saying here. God has already given him two signs. And now he asked God not to be angry with him. He said, "That last sign, would you reverse it?" And he did. And delivered the people. Friends, when you have trouble believing God, you're in the crowd of a lot of great people. But overcome it as they did. And make up your mind you're going to believe what God says. When I take my Bible to the doctor's office place, I tell people this is the answer to all the problems of this country. I believe that. I believe if we return to this book, country would be a better place. When New York City first set up their first school system, they had a mandatory attendance law. And it was called the old Satan Deluder Act. That if the kids don't go to school and be educated, Satan's going to deceive them. Nowadays, education's about the biggest deceiver we've got. Here's the answer. Here's the answer to our problem. If we would but admit, this is our answer. Well, we turn to another in the Old Testament, and we come to a man by the name of Abaca. Old Abaca, he was a man of God as well, and he indicated that something really does need to be done. And Habakkuk went to God about it and poured out his heart to God and pleaded with God that his people had turned his back upon him. And Habakkuk said, "God, you need to do something." And God agreed with him that things were bad, that justice had been pushed aside in the back of the first chapter. And he said, "Now, Habakkuk, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And I'm going to tell you, first of all, that you're not going to believe what I tell you." Boy, what about that? "Before I tell you, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. But I want you to know that before I tell you, you're not going to believe me." And God told him, "We're going to let the enemies come in and sweep Israel clean." Habakkuk said, oh no. He said, you're a pure God. You wouldn't take a dirty broom to sweep a dirty room. They're worse than we are. And then finally it got to Habakkuk and he said, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. But at first, Habakkuk had the same problem that we've all had one time or another. When we read a verse, we won't believe it. Had a boy in my class, he went to church one Sunday for the first time. And he came on Monday morning, old James said, Mr. Plunkett, you're not going to believe what I learned yesterday. And said, I'm not going to do it. I said, what's wrong, James? He said, they said that Jesus said, if a man slap you on one cheek, you turn the other. They fought all the time. He said, I'm not going to do it. And I'm afraid that's the way we are when we read the Bible a lot of times. Nobody's going to run over me. I'm going to defend myself. Jesus said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A lot of hard things in the book. But if you believe in God, you got to believe what God says. When you come to the New Testament, turn right on over to the New Testament, and we'll turn to the book of Luke, and notice the same thing in the first chapter, if you will, of the book of Luke. Watch it. Well, let's just begin reading after we look at verse 5 and find out that Zacchaeus was a priest. He was there doing what was intended to be done, and his wife's name was Elizabeth. Now look at verse 6. And they were both righteous before God. Now here's a priest of God in the house of God doing what God has asked him to do. Now I want you to notice that. They were righteous people walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. That means they're old. I want you to notice now, in verse 8, he was there fulfilling the priest's office. He was doing what God intended him to do in verse 9. In verse 10, they were outside. Now look at verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel, the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, while he's burning incense, in other words. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Now here's a righteous man doing what God would have him to do, serving God, and an angel appears and he's afraid. Does that sound like the denominational preachers that you know? Oh, I saw the Lord. It was a wonderful occasion. An angel appeared to me. It was just wonderful. Friends, if that happened to you, it do what it did to this righteous man, it scared the daylights out of you. You haven't seen anything. Preachers in Pennsylvania would say, I saw the letters PC in the sky. Somebody told one of them, said it meant produce coal. Didn't mean preach Christ. We are bad about that. Do we believe what God says? Now look at Zacharias. Zacharias was troubled. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now does this man believe in God? Yes, sir. Does he believe what God says? No, sir. He said, now, I need a sign. I need some assurance so I can believe this. And for 9 months, he couldn't talk. And when they wanted to name John after a member of the family, they gave him something right on. He wrote John's name down. They were amazed. A godly man who believed in God, but had trouble believing what God had to say. And that's trouble with all of us. We say, oh, preacher, I'm a believer. But the question is, do you believe what God has to say? Look in Matthew chapter 26, if you will. And we'll read verse 31. Matthew 26 and verse 31. Then says Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. And after I am arisen again, I will go before the sun into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me three times. Did Peter believe in Jesus? Certainly. Did he believe that he would deny Jesus? Certainly not. Did he believe what Jesus said? No, sir. I think the amazing thing, after Jesus died, Peter said, I go fishing. I got to do something. Get this off my mind. But Jesus already told him, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me. In our country, we need to read our Bible. We need to believe what we read. No need to read in the Bible if you're not going to believe it. I know you struggle with it, and that's the purpose tonight of noticing these men that struggled. I've seen members of the church for years struggle. Struggle. No boy that makes bold for me, he's 96 years old. He takes about 300 pieces of wood and glues them together and turns them. And I've given two of them, fixing to give the third of them to the adoption center. The first two bought $1,000 a piece. They're amazing. But he said, Joel, I quit smoking. It'd like to kill me. He said, I can't imagine having the habit of drinking. How in the world somebody would give it up? Friends, we struggle. We struggle sometimes when we come here to pay attention. We struggle sometimes to keep up with the singing and let it become a part of us. We struggle sometimes in the prayers of praying that prayer with the brother who's leading the prayer, making it our prayer. We struggle with keeping our mind on the Lord's Supper and thinking about this bread represents the body of my Lord. We struggle with the fruit of the vine represents the blood that was shed for me. Other men struggle too, but in final analysis, if you're going to believe in Jesus, you believe what he said. What did Jesus say? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now the Catholics say, he that is baptized is saved, he'll be taught later and believe. Our denominational friends have a different light on that. They say, he that believeth is saved and is later baptized. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Preacher, I can't believe that. Well, I know you're struggling, but a lot of people struggle. Why don't you just finally admit, Jesus said it, and I believe it. Somebody said, well, Jesus said it, and I believe it, that makes it so. No, that doesn't make it so. Jesus said it, that makes it so. Will you believe it or not? Jesus said it. That's the final analysis. Oh, friends, please. If you're going to believe in Jesus, if you're going to believe in God, believe what they had to say. There's no salvation without believing what they had to say. You've got to render obedience to the gospel, to the commands that God has given us. Please, friend, don't leave this old world and go to hell. Make up your mind. You're going to believe in Jesus. You're going to believe what Jesus said and what he said through the apostles when we read his book. Friends, I don't know how you'd make it any simpler than that. I don't know how that anybody would have any difficulty understanding that you believe in God, you believe what he says. You believe in Jesus, you believe what he says. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Believe it. You'd be surprised what people do sometimes to be the service. When James A. Garfield became president of this country, on Sunday morning they had planned something for the group to meet together. He said, go ahead and meet. I won't be there. I have a prior obligation with God's people. He went to worship. Friends, that's the kind of faith we've got to have. Do you have it? Right now, while together we stand and sing.
The voice of the Savior says come, the cross where he died is in sight.